Girl Dad Nation is made possible by the generous support of our listeners and my wife, executive producer of my daughters and this podcast. Welcome to Girl Dad Nation. In this episode, I welcome Jerome Cluck. Jerome and his wife, Caitlin, have a daughter named Charlie, and they host a podcast called Everyday Parents, featuring the day-to-day stories from many different parents. My wife, Becca, and I were guests on the podcast, link in the description, and now it's an honor to welcome Jerome as a guest on Girl Dad Nation. Let's get to it. Girl Dad Nation. Jerome, thank you so much for being with me.
Hey, thanks for having me. Very excited to be here.
It's awesome to have you on my podcast. It was a pleasure getting to talk to you and your wife, Caitlin. My wife and I were interviewed by you and your wife for the Everyday Parents podcast. So yeah, that was a really great conversation. Thank you so much for having us. We just had a blast talking about our girls being parents, all the challenges, all the craziness that comes with being parents. Just to start off, everyone that hasn't checked out Everyday Parents, definitely go listen to that. It's a really great podcast looking at different people's parenting backgrounds, parenting stories, and just, I think it's called The Day in the Life. So it's just different people's routines throughout the day, what it looks like for each family.
Yeah. So me and my wife had our first kid back in at the end of 2021. And I was so blown away by how hard it was, really, and how like all consuming. And after a couple of months of doing it, she and I just couldn't stop asking my siblings or our friends that had kids. Like, we wanted all the nitty gritty details about like what their day looked like. And I just couldn't believe that they had all gone through this so quietly. I'm like, you didn't tell me any of this. And eventually we just settled on launching a podcast to talk to pretty everyone and see what it looks like for them, because it was different for everyone that we had talked to. And I couldn't get enough. I couldn't stop not believing that everyone was doing this, because it's really, really hard.
Yeah, it's amazing just thinking back about, like, you know, my own parents and their parents and, like, you know, it's the long line of parents. And then it's amazing now, like, how many resources are out there. But I think, like, when my parents were raising us, like, there wasn't all these podcasts, shows.
I had a couple beers with my mom the other weekend and like couldn't stop going on and on about like, I'm sorry about this as a kid. Like, I can't believe you did this. Like, I'm more amazed at you now than I ever was. And I remember there would be a couple of times when I was putting Charlie to bed when she was really young, and I'd climb into my nice warm bed and I'm just picturing like the colonialist in Boston, like when the weather sucks and they don't have disposable diapers. And just my graciousness and gratitude for the long string of humanity that got us to this point was endless. And I wanted to sit down with those people and be like, what? I'm Googling, like, how did they do this in the 1720s? Yeah. And it is.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
It seems like it's easier now than it's ever been, but it's still really, really difficult for me, at least.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. It's easier now, but it's still really difficult. Yeah. And I think even just taking my daughters to the grocery store can be such an adventure and a challenge. And I think back, like, you know, all the farmers and all the people traveling out west, like, we're in Colorado. So thinking about like the settlers this way and before.
Oh my God.
It's crazy to think about. Luckily, our Walgreens is just like 3 minutes away.
Yeah. Or just the internet.
Our kids are just always sick. Yeah. And I'm constantly Googling things and
I've got a video monitor that I watch her sleep on, and I had taken it to my mom's house and I was setting it up and she's like, what is that? And I'm like, I have to see, you know, what every sound is. And she was just like, made me feel like I'm like a helicopter parent or something just for having this camera. I'm like, are you kidding? This is amazing. I couldn't do it without this thing now. And she had never had that.
Yeah. And then tell me, when did you start your podcast? How old was Charlie at the time?
She would have been, I think we started like incubating the idea when she was 6 months, and then we started doing a little bit of the legwork, and we started recording episodes when she was about 9 or 10 months. And then I think we went live shortly before her first birthday. So back in October of 2022.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's impressive. Like, I know in the first few months, you're just trying to get a handle on everything else. So then to launch a podcast in the midst of all that.
That's why we, challenge. I almost didn't want to do it because I was like, I can't take on anything. And that's why we ended up doing episodes every 2 weeks, because like initially we had talked about weekly, but just spare time is so precious. And I didn't want to start something that I just didn't stick to, you know? And so we almost didn't do it, but she's gotten easier to handle and we've gotten better at the podcast. And so it's been a really nice hobby and it's been awesome just to talk to other people, like meeting you and learning about your podcast and all these other people. We do a lot of these like home and homes where we talk to other people on their podcasts and then, you know, we'll go on theirs. And it's just been a really awesome, like little cultural exchange. And we've learned a lot and met a ton of new people and ton of great people.
Very cool. Yeah, it was great getting connected to you and your wife through the podcast. And yeah, sharing the joys of being parents to daughters is great. Could you tell me just a little bit about your background? And you did an episode on your podcast talking about you and your wife interview each other and you talk about being a stay-at-home dad. Just tell me a bit about your family like that.
Sure. So my wife and I'm a stay-at-home dad to my daughter. My wife and I got together when we were in high school, which would have been, we graduated and I was 08 and she was 09. And it was funny we got together because I was a horrible student and she was a really good student. I was like 10th from the bottom of my class and she was like 3rd from the top. So it was really, it was just an odd pairing. But we really liked each other. I wasn't like dumb. I was just lazy and a bad student, but I could keep up with her to say the least. So we ended up falling in love right before college. We went to different colleges. I went to a college in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and she went to Michigan State University. But we did the long distance thing until we graduated. And then we traveled. And so like the theme throughout our relationship has always been she has kind of been more serious about her academics and better set up with a career orientation. And so as our relationship progressed, she became, you know, she made more money than me when we both had these full-time jobs. And then when it came time for us to have that discussion about having a kid, it was like, well, you know, I could keep this job or I could forego paying most of that income to a daycare and just try and raise Charlie myself. And I say try. So, yeah, when it came time for us to talk about having a kid, I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'll be a stay-at-home dad. Yeah. And most of my guy friends were like, oh, really? You know, you're going to, what are you going to go to book club when you're not with Charlie or so? Like, I got a lot of, I got a lot of masculinity coming at me about this decision. And I was secure enough by that point that I just didn't, you know, it didn't bother me at all. But so we knew that I was going to be the stay-at-home dad. And so far, so good. It's worked out.
Hey, I just want to take a quick moment to invite you to join the Nation as a monthly supporter. For as little as $3 a month, you can help us continue making great content celebrating dads and daughters. Simply click support the show in the episode description and become a partner in this mission of fathering future leaders. Thank you. Now back to the show. That's great. Yeah, I wanted to ask about that sort of societal pressure or expectation. Comments from friends or family, since I just imagine that there could be some pushback with that.
So there's a little bit of both sides of that coin. So I find that like my closer relationships and like the guy friends that I know better, like they kind of like to give me shit about it. Mm-hmm. But the people that don't know me well enough to, I guess, make those points. Like it's almost the exact opposite. Like, for example, I went to the grocery store with Charlie and my wife wasn't with me. So like appearances, I was just like a single dad running errands with my daughter. And I had a woman coming out of the grocery store as I was going in and she looked at me and she fist pumped and she said, "Get it done, daddy." And I had to stop. I was like looking around. I'm like, no way was she talking to me. Like, get it done. Like I was getting cheered on by people because I'm like going against the grain or something, like I'm being a girl dad when it isn't expected of me. Like the bar was really low. And just by going shopping with her, people were cheering me on. And so,
So I
find that real, because that's not like stuff like that has happened many, many times to me. So you get that. And then at the same time, like I got to quit my job because I was going to be a dad. And I worked in apartment maintenance, which is pretty blue collar stuff. And the people that I walked away from just couldn't keep it to themselves. Like it was all good natured ribbing, but it was very, I don't know, pretty misogynistic stuff.
Yeah.
But that, again, that never bothered me because I was more than happy to support my wife, who is kick ass in her job. And then, you know, I really do think raising Charlie is, like, not to overstate it, but the most important thing I'll probably ever do. So I'm, you know, there's nothing that could keep me from doing the best job I could do.
Yeah, that's great.
And other people's thoughts and opinions really are the last thing that I am concerned about.
Yeah, I think for parents, when you become a parent, that role is just so important. And yeah, whether you're a stay-at-home parent or a working parent, like that time with your kids and being a parent just is so valuable. And yeah, you're like, it doesn't even matter like what your job is. And there's a lot of really important work, a lot of really great jobs, all that kind of stuff. But it all kind of gets set aside like when you have this life that you're taking care of and that's your sole responsibility. And it goes by so fast too. So like you and I are kind of in the middle of it right now.
And it is going fast.
Still so young. But I think in 10 years, it's all going to be completely different. And yeah, I feel like you don't want to waste this time.
Yeah. So it is like one of the most important things you can do, but I think that's a good point. It is also going to be shorter than I think we realize. And like my wife and I don't have any plans for another kid right now. So just in a vacuum, you know, legally speaking, my job is done at 18. I know you're never done being a parent or whatever, but it's also not like this is who I am for the rest of my life. It's that for this time period, my job is to be the best dad I can be for this kid. And, you know, like I said, unless you're going to like invent the wheel or cure cancer or something, like for most of us, raising responsible, decent sons and daughters, as lame as it sounds, is the most important thing most of us can do. And I know you haven't even asked a question here, but I'm just going.
No, that's great.
That was part of like my relationship with Caitlin when I realized like I didn't really have a lot of career ambitions I'm just having fun working my 9-to-5 kind of thing. And when it came time to talk about having a kid, that's when it kind of dawned on me that like this will most likely be the most important thing I've ever done. The nature of our society is like, you know, values and habits and all that stuff is like cyclical and handed down. And again, if there's not going to be a statue of me outside of a baseball stadium somewhere, my legacy becomes the impact that my daughter has on the people around her. And so I want to set her up to have a good impact. And I've got like, you know, 18 really formative years to give her the tools to make a really good impact. And keeping that in mind makes all of it really worthwhile.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah. Sitting down for this podcast, I hadn't really put words to that before, but as I was trying to actually flesh out my thoughts here, it felt really good to write that down and kind of refocus my thoughts and situation.
I love doing these kinds of interviews because it helps me reflect on just my own job, my own values, what I'm called to be as a father. And I just get so energized hearing from other dads about their journey and their love for being a dad. And then just kind of hearing what you were saying too. My wife also works. And in thinking about that, like I love that she's so passionate about what she does. And just thinking about when my daughters grow up, like they're so young now. So we still talk about like all the what ifs, like, you know, you could be a race car driver, an astronaut or a doctor, like, or a mermaid, you know, all these.
Oh, yeah. Very salient right now.
All these different things. But I just love like having strong women in their lives that they can look up to, and seeing that in their mom, someone that works hard, but also just loves them and loves our family, and just cares for all of us. And she's able to balance it really well. And we try really hard to, since we both work, like to just find all the right balance. And it's hard. I don't think you can ever find perfect balance, but at least if you're trying to always like strive for that. What ways, tell me a little bit about what Caitlin does, what her job is, if you are able to share, and then how does that shape the way that, you're raising your daughter?
So Caitlin works for Michigan State University. She works in a capacity to help instructors with, their like digital learning initiatives. So after COVID, when Zoom became so prevalent, I think the school started to take like an extra care to investigate how like learning is done through that way. So she'll work with instructors to formulate lesson plans and with tech help and that kind of stuff. And it's funny because she's had a couple of like university jobs since we've been together, and I've never fully had a grasp on what she does. It's like the wizard behind the curtain kind of stuff. It's all over my head, but she does that for them. And it's been really interesting to, like, when Charlie was really young, like couldn't stand up or hold her head up, it was very much like a team effort. And Charlie was breastfeeding for a long time. Well, she's done now, actually. So she's a year and a half now and doesn't breastfeed anymore, but Charlie wouldn't take a bottle. So Caitlin was working from home, thankfully, because she was able to breastfeed Charlie whenever she needed it. And talk about feeling like, I don't know, emasculated almost. My job as a stay-at-home dad was to care for Charlie so she could work, but Charlie wouldn't even let me feed her. So Caitlin had to kind of perform both jobs at once, which made me just kind of feel like standing on the sideline watching. Mm-hmm. But as Charlie got older, I was able to, you know, she can do solids and stuff. And now like Caitlin could leave town and we'll survive. And with that change in Charlie, it has been interesting. Like, I have a huge amount of respect, not just for my wife who works, but like in this dynamic where there is a stay-at-home parent and there is a working parent, I can tell, I appreciate the sacrifice she makes, because usually Charlie and I are spending her money all day having a good time. and then at the end of the day, I'll have all these moments and Snapchats and stuff on my phone. I'll send myself so we can go back over them. But now that Charlie's older and honestly just more fun, like Caitlin, I almost feel bad for her at this point, because when she gets out of work, she only has 85 or 90 minutes with Charlie before she has to go to bed again. And I see her just like thirst after that time together. So I'll, you know, walk away and go cook or something and give them time together. But I really appreciate the sacrifice of the working parent, my working wife, because she's, I mean, essentially trading that time with Charlie to provide for us, which is incredibly selfless.
Yeah. And then that got me thinking too, just wanted to ask about your day and your week. What are the best parts about your week with Charlie? And then, what's your day kind of look like, sort of in brief, but then maybe like the highlight of your day?
So the weather has, I used to like winter when I was younger, but like when it rains or when it snows, like I am affected more than I would have ever expected to be, because our house isn't that big, and being cooped up in this house like for 4 days in a row can be a nightmare. So I pay attention to the weather, and if it's a good day, we are out constantly. There's so many parks in our community. Like MSU is in East Lansing, and We still haven't been to all the parks, but I like to just get her out to a park. There's a ton of community resources around here, science centers and stuff.
Yeah.
We have a beautiful river trail that she and I can walk on. And like I get to get some exercise that way. So getting out of the house in the morning with her is huge. Try and burn her out and get her tired, and then we'll come home. She's really regimented, and that's probably because I am super regimented. So like I drink the same amount of water and the same coffee at the same times. So I like to get Charlie home, and like we'll have a snack, and she's in bed at noon. And then after she goes down, she usually sleeps for an hour, and that's when I'll make Kate lunch and I'll make myself lunch. And then after I clean up from that, I might play NBA 2K22 until Charlie wakes up. Just fill that gap. Listen to a podcast while I'm doing that, usually. It's usually when I listen to yours.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, that's great. That's why that video game, you don't have to listen to that video game, so I can listen to, that's when I get that in. Like I said, very regimented. So when Charlie wakes up, then it's usually like 1:30-ish. We have lunch, and then just depends. We'll do something that we didn't do in the morning. So we'll do a different park or a different kids activity. There's a trampoline park around here that she goes nuts for.
Oh, yeah. Can she do that now? She's like 18 months now.
Yeah. So she actually gets in free for like another 6 months. They charge me like I'm like 12 bucks. But dude, not only can she do it, she thrives. It's incredible to watch. And it's,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's,
I don't think we've been quite to a trampoline park. We've been to a couple like indoor playground kind of things with like slides and jungle gym, but not like the trampoline park just yet. But
okay.
Yeah.
We have a few of those indoor playgrounds. I can't get enough of that stuff. I like, it's almost cheating how much fun I have there with her. It is some of the most wholesome garbage ever.
Yeah. Well, they always want me to like climb up to the top with them.
Stuff.
So I'm like, I always like take my shoes off and I'm like crawling through things.
Yeah. So, well, yeah. So I wanted to talk about this later, my interaction with other people's kids as a dad out at the park, you know.
Oh yeah. I'm curious your thoughts on that since there's some interesting stories, I'm sure.
But yeah, so I'll just, you know, we'll kill time doing something until 5, and I'll make sure I'm home pretty close to that. Or we'll watch YouTube until 5, and then she's all Caitlin's. I'll make dinner and they hang out until bath and nap time. And then it's, you know, what can we clean before bed?
Cool. Yeah. I know that time, like it's great spending time with your kids. Like that's what most of this podcast is about, but I know time for yourself is also so valuable. I know like when my kids take a nap or like a little bit of time before they get up. And it's usually, it never works out for me. I'm always like, oh, I'm going to get up an hour early. So that way I have an hour like to myself. And then they always get up early. And I'm like, what? So it never quite works out to balance too for you.
Yeah.
But even that like hour in the day, I know people have different opinions on screen time. For us, it's like, we limit it as much as possible. We try to do as much like going out to the park. My kids love the park, and we have so many great parks that you can just look up. And there's like even some Instagram channels that I follow that share different parks in our area. So I love it just seeing new places and getting out to different places, and some have zip lines and other features that are really cool.
Oh, yeah.
So we try to adventure to different places too. But then when we get home, laying them down or even letting them watch some screen time for a little bit and having that like hour to just like get caught up on different things, or like that's when I try to edit my podcast or do different things that are like for me a little bit. But I know that that's valuable.
So I was gonna say, I still, as far as screen time, like she has actually, like we'll watch something if the weather sucks, and like I've seen her get to the point where she doesn't even want to watch anymore, and it's only like it'll be like 45 minutes and she's done. So I'm like, all right, like she knows when she's had enough. We haven't gotten to the point where I'm like, you know, hey, we're going to eat now. Like, what do you, you don't have a problem. So far to this point, it's been pretty self-regulated and simple. Nothing I've been worried about.
Does she have a favorite show?
Yeah. So there's Cocomelon and then Pinkfong. Are you familiar with that? It's like,
I don't know. I've heard Cocomelon, of course, but okay. I haven't heard of the other one.
It's like a Korean fox It's made by some Korean company, but it's on YouTube and it's the same songs as Cocomelon, basically, but okay. It just something about the animation gets her. So she's into that. Okay. And she'll just, cool. There's another character on the show called Hoagie. And so she'll just say, Hoagie, watch Hoagie. I'm like, all right, we'll watch Hoagie.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. My daughters really pick up on songs and we have like a Google Home in the kitchen. So typically like at breakfast and stuff, they're always like come downstairs and ask Google to play something. But they're kind of funny. They were really into the theme song from Ghostbusters. So they would play that. And it was even like Christmas and they were asking it to play Ghostbusters.
Ray Parker and, Jr. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, the other one was We Will Rock You by Queen. and they would just, they'd love that song. They would just ask it over and over and over again to play that song.
Oh, that's a great one.
But then of course, like all the kids like songs, Hamster Dance was like popular this week. So yeah.
Well, that's part of my regimented thing. Like I'll even like, if we're leaving somewhere, there's a Billy Joel song called Moving Out. And
oh, cool.
Like, I'll have Alexa play that. And then like when that song starts playing, that like Charlie knows we got to get our shoes on. And so, or we'll play like
it.
Good Morning Starshine in the morning while she's eating oats and stuff like that, kind of regimented. So nice. She'll sing those songs too, which is adorable.
Usually when it's like 9 o'clock and my kids still aren't asleep, I play No Sleep Till Brooklyn just for my wife's.
I'm sure she loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we play.
She's like, you're supposed to put the kids to bed. And I'm like, I'm in riling them up in their room playing that song.
That's a good one, too. Your kids are going to have great taste.
Yeah. Yeah. Are there any things that you came up with, like your own like insider things that you do with Charlie?
So part of our, like we would, my wife and I would just record episodes that we wouldn't put out sometimes called Charlie's Corner. Well, we will talk about the latest, like, it's kind of like a video diary almost. And we did that because she changes so quickly and moves through phases so fast that we would.
I love that idea. That's great.
Yeah. We would kind of catalog these changes through that, because even looking back at some of those over the last couple of months, we'd be like, oh yeah, remember that was a thing. Remember that was a thing. Or she would do this and this. These phone games probably fell into that category, because I'm not sure I remember anymore what we used to do.
Yeah. What is it about being a dad of a daughter, being a girl dad, as the show is called, that you love?
My wife is a very strong woman. And I really respect and admire strong women. When we had found out we were having a kid, I had wanted it to be a girl. I like refrained from picking a gender because I didn't, or, you know, hoping for one because I didn't want to put that out into the world. But I had kind of hoped it would be a girl. I don't know if, I think my friends, like I hung out with mostly boys when I was growing up and they were cool and fun and I had a great time, but they were hellacious and they could be really terrible. And you know, I had older sisters and, you know, they could be terrible too, but something about girls are just sweeter and nicer and like kinder. And at least in like adolescence, they're more gentle. And so I don't know. I think that's why I had wanted to have a daughter. And I wanted to put another strong, powerful woman out into the world. So between that thought and thinking that having a kid would be the most important thing I could ever do, like I feel like 16-year-old me would be so disappointed at those thoughts. And that kind of reinforces my wanting to have a girl, because I just think the world does better when there's more strong, independent women. And I love that her mother is a role model for that for her. I love seeing the two of them together. I just like that energy in the house. I don't know. I knew I would love it and I have loved it so far. It's been great.
Yeah. And I completely agree. Like I love raising daughters and yeah, that's why I was just so jazzed about getting to talk to other dads of daughters and hearing how they have a passion for raising strong young women. And I wanted to ask too, what have you learned from Charlie?
Oh man. I'm so excited to know more about her personality, and like, I can't wait to learn everything about her. And in the meantime, yeah, I feel like I'm just learning more things about myself as we go. I learned like my whole perception of myself has changed since having her. Like, my risk calculus is way different. I vibrate at a higher frequency. I'm way more stressed out. I'm way more scared. I'm not the same person I thought I was when I was like at 16 or 24. Like, my interests have changed and everything has kind of coalesced towards being present for her, I guess. Yeah, it's shocking to me how big of an impact she has had on the person I thought I was. And I always like to think of myself as like, you know, a stable, like developed person, you know, I'm mature and I know what I like and I know how the world should be and yada, yada. And I've always felt confident in myself in that way. But having her has both taught me that it's humbled me a lot. It's humbled me a lot and it's made me okay with not knowing anything at all.
I love that answer. Yeah. Just thinking about the ways that your kids change your perspective of things entirely.
It's changed, yeah, not just my life, the entire world for me. Everything kind of like why people do the kind of stuff they do. I'm like, why anything happens? I don't know. It kind of like creates a permission structure for every awful thing someone did on the news or every sacrifice someone made. Like, I get it all now, kind of. Like, it's either because of a kid or because of a parent or like your relationship to the world. And it all just kind of has been laid bare for me just a little bit by having this responsibility now.
Yeah. And she's only 18 months.
I know.
So it's amazing just in that time how much has changed. But thinking about the future, what are your hopes for Charlie? Where do you hopes, dreams, all of that for her?
I want to try and walk a fine line between like, you know, I love sports. I've recently begun watching college softball in the World Series to know the rules because I grew up playing baseball and I know softball is a little different. And so like, you know, I want to be prepared if she goes that way. Also, completely understand why a young girl would not want to play softball. So I feel like I need to walk that line between pushing her into things that I want for her and like following her into things that she likes. And so I feel like I'm going to be super careful about placing, I don't know, any expectation on her at all, really. So I kind of prepared a speech for her later, and towards the end of it here, great. I go into that, you know, I think my highest expectation for her is just to be one of those people that puts health and well-being out into the world and contributes and just fosters love. Which again, 16-year-old me would be like, dude, what are you babbling about? But honestly, that's it. That's all I need for her is to be happy and, I don't know, loving.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it because there's so many things that I think my daughters could do and be happy doing. And like, yeah, whether it's sports or arts or whatever. But also, I like what you said, following them into what they're passionate about. And that's something too, where I like try to get outside of myself and just my own wants and likes and try to see the world differently. And when you can engage in something with your kids that they really love and see the beauty, the joy that they have, it's so cool to be able to do that. I was just talking with another dad who he gets pedicures with his daughters. And
oh yeah.
And he has his nails painted and all that kind of stuff. And just doing something maybe outside of your comfort zone, but something that you can bond with your kids with. And just having that openness, I think, is a good way to kind of approach life, is having your strong core values is important, but yeah. then also ways that you can stretch yourself and be a part of that relationship with your kids.
Yeah, to see her thrive will be great. And I can't think of a lot of things that I'm not willing to try and do with her or for her. So whatever I'm awesome. Willing, I'm excited.
And then, yeah, you host your own podcast, the Everyday Parents Podcast. On that podcast, I wanted to ask, is there a moment that stood out to you in all the episodes that you've done? And you've done several. Do you know the count on that now?
Yeah. So we have, I think we're up to 18 published, but we have a lot in the tank all of a sudden. So like, I think we have 25 recorded. Yeah, it's been a whirlwind. Yeah.
That's impressive. Again, just thinking about you, it just started just a little bit ago. So,
yeah, well, it's been fun. So we've been seeking them out and having a great time. And yeah, the awesome part about talking to so many people, everyone is doing the best they can. And we have gotten a wide swath of people in so many different circumstances. And to sit down and have like that intimate kind of conversation with people, you see that everyone is just trying to put that same love out there. I don't know if we have like a selection bias for people that are involved enough with their kids to want to talk about them on a podcast, but everyone that we have talked to has been so, they kind of reflect that sentiment that I had just gone into where like, yes. It seems like the most important thing to them is making sure that there is a happy and healthy and loving expression of their child out in the world. And going into the minute by minute or the hour by hour details of what their day looks like to create that image has been a lot of fun. I found out that a lot of parents relax the exact same way. It is borne out to this point that most of the women like to scroll on Instagram and most of the men or fathers like to play Fortnite. And it's weird. I've exchanged gamer tags with a couple of different people so far.
Nice.
Because yeah. We all relax the same way. But yeah, it just the nature of parenting and this job kind of creates a lot of similarities across a lot of different people.
Awesome. And then, yeah, any final words just about your podcast or anything else you want to share before I get into the final question?
So maybe not necessarily about my podcast, but one thing I do want to put out into the world. So when I go places with Charlie, other people's kids will come and talk to me. And if Charlie's not instantly near me, I just want everyone out there listening to know that I already feel guilty for talking to children by myself. I'll see parents off to the side and I feel like I know they're like, what's this dude about? What's his story? Like, don't be talking to my kid. But I just want you all to know that your kid started talking to me and I'm trying to be polite. And I still haven't gotten over, like, I just feel like weird as a guy in a park talking to a kid.
I totally get that too. Like I'm totally comfortable with my own kids and stuff and all like, but then especially like we were talking about getting into like the indoor playground or whatever, like, you know, your kids want you to chase you everywhere, but then like we're at McDonald's and I'm like crawling through the things
because
my 2-year-old is like scared to go down the slide. But then there's other kids like trying to get by and stuff. And you're like, okay, like I'm just trying to protect my kid.
That's exactly what made me think of that earlier was because I was in like, it was a tiered net system that we were crawling through. And so I'm not just in a part, like I'm laying down as kids are walking past me and I'm just, you know, dying inside, hoping that no one's judging me because I'm just trying to have fun with my kids. So have some grace in that situation because I don't want to be there either talking to your kids.
The other awkward thing for me is like I have a different approach to like disciplining sometimes. Like I don't really like to yell at my kids, but there's certain times where you do have to be firm and you do have to like remove them from a situation and stuff. But then like other people's kids is like a whole different thing, which is so hard to navigate because, yeah, it's typically like at the park or playground or whatever that like sometimes there's kids, especially when it comes to like, if I feel like my kids are being like in danger or if like a kid is like pulling my daughter's hair or something, which happens to us. And it's like, yeah, you want to step in, like you want to make sure that your kid feels safe, but then disciplining other people's kids is really hard because I'm like, I don't want to like, I'm not their parent. I don't want to like yell at them or whatever. Like that's not necessarily my job, but I also need to protect my kids. And then I'm looking around for like the other parent. I'm like, okay, where's the other parent in this situation? Since usually I'm like right there, or I try to be, very attentive. No judgment to like other parents, but I'm like looking around and I'm like, okay, like who's going to step in? But I want to make sure if they aren't, then I'm going to make sure I just step in and make sure my kid's okay. But then that becomes like such an awkward thing to try to navigate as a parent.
There could be like almost no more volatile situation to step into with a stranger. And I haven't gotten there yet. Every interaction Charlie has had with other kids, like they're young enough that the parent's right there and is like, don't push them down the slide. Yeah. But yeah, I just kind of died a little inside hearing your story. Not super looking forward to that. Cause yeah,
I also got like super protective just as a dad to a daughter too. Like we were at this burger establishment that had an indoor playground and I was holding the other, like our littlest baby. So I couldn't go follow her, but she was watching me and I made sure that she knew that I could see her, and going up to the very top, she wanted to go down the slide. And there was this little boy that was even like slightly smaller than my oldest. And the boy was just like being mean to her and like pulling her hair. And she was trying to say, stop it. And like that, man, that moment just like really, like stuck with me. And I ended up yelling from the bottom of the thing. And then the other dad like came around and like, it was a really good moment. And my daughter talks about it still, like even to this day sometimes. And for that whole week, she was like telling mommy like about what happened and stuff since I was there by myself with the girls. But then the dad came over and he brought his son over and had him apologize to her, which was really good. And I was like, then I made sure to acknowledge that I appreciated the dad stepping in, like making sure he was trying to like right the wrong that was happening and stuff. But I think like, you know, she was only like 3 years old and having like these unwanted, like this boy hitting her and pulling her hair and stuff. But trying to teach them even at this young age, like, no, your body's yours. Like you can say no at any time, like you, to speak up for yourself and all that kind of stuff. But then like, so I was so proud of her too in that moment that she like knew herself and knew that she didn't like that. And like, and she called out for me and like did what she could to get away from that situation. And then I stepped in as soon as I could in the way that I could. But I just think about like that moment, like really made an impression on her. But I hope that like, as she gets older, as she becomes a young woman, is off in the world, that those values and like standing up for herself, not taking like any kind of abuse, is something that like that will just carry with her and stuff.
That's incredible that was born out that way. But I think that's part of what has me like vibrating at that higher frequency is just the paranoia and on and on. And yeah, I look forward to being able to impart that lesson and create a strong, independent woman capable of taking care of herself. And that's really cool.
Okay, so Jerome, it's been so awesome chatting with you. My final question, and I ask all of my guests this, pretend that Charlie's listening to this. What is something you would tell her directly?
Well, so I took your question to heart and I went ahead and prepared a little statement. So this is me to Charlie now. Everyone else, this is me. Here we go. Hello, Charlie Ann. If you're hearing this, you're probably old enough to Google me now. It probably also means my episode of Girl Dad Nation is still one of the first results, which is probably great news. I have a few things I want to apologize for off the top. Charlie, I'm sorry I didn't commit to making your middle name Echo. I wasn't sure at the time if having a name fully on the NATO phonetic alphabet was a good idea, but now I'm sure it would have been. I'm sorry you have to root for the Detroit Lions. None of us are ever given a choice in the matter. My father apologized to me, and someday you will apologize to your kids. I'm sorry if something embarrassing I have done has pushed this interview to the second page of your Google results. You're probably old enough now that I can admit to you that becoming your father is the scariest thing that has ever happened to me. That fear has made me become a much better person, and sometimes that fear makes me do much stupider things. You immediately had incredible gravity in my world. My only expectation for you is to make a life that you can be proud of, and use that gravity to organize a universe you love around yourself. I love you very much, and please don't touch my PlayStation still.
That's beautiful.
That's what I would want.
You're making me like tear up. That's great. Thank you so much, Jerome.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I read that to my wife. And writing it was okay, but saying it out loud the first time, I was like, oh, what's wrong with me? 17-year-old me would hate this.
That's great. Yeah, you need to save that.
Oh, yeah.
And then give it to her when she goes off to college.
I'll just give her the episode.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure having you on the podcast.
Yeah, man. This was a lot of fun. I never cease to be amazed by how much I enjoy listening to these and doing these and sharing this with all of you.
Thank you to Jerome for sharing his story and being part of Girl Dad Nation. Check out the links in the description to learn more about the Everyday Parents podcast, including the episode with my wife and I. We love chatting with Jerome and Caitlin, and I'm so glad to have been able to continue the conversation with Jerome as fathers to daughters. It's obvious that he loves his daughter Charlie so much, and the letter he wrote to her at the end of the episode was truly very special. Whether your kids are young, like ours still are, for now, or they're all grown up, I encourage you to write your kids a letter letting them know how much they are loved. I know they will cherish that forever. Thank you for journeying with me. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please let me know by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts and sharing the show with a friend. Girl Dad Nation is on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can also email me at girldadnationpodcast@gmail.com. There is no greater joy than being a dad. One last thing, if you've made it this far, thank you. You are the loyalest of listeners. So I want to tell you about my offer to new monthly supporters. If you join Girl Dad Nation for as little as $3 a month, I will give you a shout out in a future episode and send you a Girl Dad Nation magnet that looks great on a car or fridge. So you can rep the nation at home or on the go. Simply click support the show in the episode description to join today. Thank you.